The mind is very changeable. In fact, the Buddha said it's so quick to reverse itself that there's no adequate image to illustrate how quick it is and how reversible it is. You're heading in one direction, and then you turn around and suddenly heading in the other direction. Now, if the mind is heading in a bad direction, that's a good thing. But if you've already got it in a good direction, you have to be very careful. This is one of the reasons why we develop mindfulness, is to remember where we're going and the good qualities that we're headed to, so that when the mind is tempted to reverse direction, you can turn it back around. We see this in so many areas of our lives. As we're meditating here, you're with the breath, and all of a sudden you're off someplace else. This is why the Buddha never mentioned anything about innate natures to the mind, aside from the fact that the mind knows. It's aware. And beyond that, it can be anything. It's capable of all kinds of things. He says, look at the animal kingdom, all the variety of the animals that are out there. And every type of animal there is comes from an attitude, an intention. He says the mind is even more variegated than the animal kingdom, because after all, there are all these animals that have disappeared. There are potentially new species that could come into existence. They all come from the mind. But we're not just animals. We can also be capable of things that are higher than that. And one of the things we can do is lift the level of the mind. This is why the Buddha recommends the practice of the Brahma-viharas, starting with goodwill. Goodwill is not innate to the mind. At least universal goodwill is not innate to the mind. But goodwill and ill will come very easily. Goodwill for people who have been kind to you, people you like. Ill will for people you don't like. You can't say that one is more innate than the other. But if we want to lift the level of our minds, we have to watch out for ill will, because ill will is going to get us into trouble. And goodwill for people you like, people who've been kind to you, ill will for people who've been nasty to you. I mean, that's not a very high level of attitude. Even common animals have those attitudes. Brahmas, however, the highest level of devas, they're capable of having goodwill for everybody. And that's what you've got to try to do. So it's something that you determine, as the Buddha said. It is a determination. And a determination is basically the effort to put some order into your desires. That you're not going to let random desires for ill will get in the way of your progress. And it's also a form of mindfulness. You have to keep it in mind that regardless of what other people do, you've got to have goodwill for them. That means you have to understand what goodwill means. It's a wish for happiness. And you've got to understand that wish for happiness in line with right view. And one of the first lessons of right view is, if it's something that has to be created, it's a kind of karma. The goodwill has to be a kind of karma. In other words, it's something you have to intend. You have to fabricate a state of mind in order to maintain it. And then happiness is also something that comes from karma. So you think about the fabrications of the mind as you're trying to create a sense of goodwill. How you're breathing, what you're saying to yourself, and the perceptions you hold in mind. If you allow yourself to have perceptions of feeling threatened by the people, that are difficult to have goodwill for. It makes it even more difficult. This is why the Buddha recommends perceptions of your goodwill being like the earth, solid, like the river Ganges, vast and cool, like space also, even more vast, which nobody can write anything on space. Nobody can scribble or scrawl things on your mind. So think of your goodwill as being that large. And also think of your goodwill as being dear to you. That's another perception that the Buddha recommends. He says, just as a mother would care for her only child, as it would sacrifice her life for her only child, you have to be willing to sacrifice your life for your goodwill. Realizing again the principle of karma. If you give in to ill will, no matter what, even if people are killing you, you're going to get fixated on those people and then get reborn among them with a life dedicated to getting revenge. Is that the kind of life you want? Say no. And you let the whole thing go. And you are liberated that way. Remember the Buddha's image of a fire. The fire clings to the fuel, and so it's trapped in the fuel. The fuel doesn't trap the fire. The wood doesn't care if it's burning or not. But for the fire to be maintained, it's got to hold on. And as it holds on, it's trapped. That's how they saw fire back in those days. And the fire went out when it let go. And it was freed. So for the sake of your own freedom, you've got to let go of any ill will based on the horrible things that people have done. So you remind yourself, this is for your own true well-being, that you're developing these thoughts. You want to be able to trust yourself so you don't do unskillful things and think unskillful things around people who are difficult, because you live in a world where almost everybody's difficult one way or another. And if you were to wait for the world to be happy and peaceful, with everybody behaving, and then you would meditate, or then you would be able to get your mind to settle down, you would die first. So you think these thoughts as ways of helping you to fabricate thoughts of goodwill. And what are the thoughts you think about the other people? Well, you remind yourself that they're going to be happy based on their actions. So when you're extending thoughts of goodwill to them, may they act skillfully. Now you look at some people and say, there's no way this person is ever going to act skillfully. Well, you never know. It may take a long time. But maybe there is a potential in there. Maybe someday that person will see the error of his or her ways. That's what you're hoping for. A change of heart. And you ask yourself, how do changes of heart happen? And if there's anything you can do to help the other person have a change of heart, you're happy to do it. If there's nothing you can do right away, this is where the Buddha recommends patience. So many of his discourses on goodwill, the images of patience, of endurance, waiting for the opening, waiting for the opportunity. We maybe can do something positive. There's a case in the time of the Buddha. There was a young prince who wanted to be king. And Devadatta, there was a monk who wanted to become Buddha. Yes, he asked the Buddha to retire so he could take over. The Buddha said some pretty sharp words about how he wouldn't handle the Sangha over to a lickspittle like this guy. Well, the guy took offense. And so he displayed some psychic powers to the prince, got the prince on his side. He said, okay, I'll kill the Buddha and you kill your father. That way you get to become king, I'll get to become Buddha. So here's this prince who tries to kill his father. The father finds out why, he said, well, I wanted the kingdom. Well, the father's old enough. He said, I don't need the kingdom anymore. You can have it. But then the prince didn't trust him, and he ended up putting his father to death. There is now a king who conspired against the Buddha. And later, after Devadatta fell, the king is feeling ill at ease, and so one night he goes to see the Buddha. And the Buddha gives him a talk, one of the longest talks in the canon. Goes into a lot of detail in the practice. And the king's only reaction is, I regret killing my father. And so he makes a confession. And the Buddha says, and this is for progress in the Vinaya, the noble ones, to recognize a wrongdoing as a wrongdoing and to make amends and make a resolve not to repeat it in the future. So the king leaves. The Buddha tells the monk, you know, if that king hadn't killed his father, he would have become a stream enterer listening to the talk. So here's somebody who's pretty hopeless. In fact, they killed his father, he's going to go to hell. But the Buddha gave him a talk to inspire him so that maybe he might have a change of heart, so that even after he comes out of hell, maybe he'll be headed in a better direction. So there's nobody who's totally hopeless. Simply that sometimes it's going to take a long, long time for your goodwill to show any benefits to the other person or any influence on the other person. But meanwhile, the goodwill does have an immediate influence on you. You've got to protect it for that reason. You have to be patient and enduring for that reason. Because the mind that slips into ill will can do a lot of harm to itself. So remember, this is a determination, something you have to make up your mind you want to do. It's not going to come naturally. And once you've made up your mind to do that, it's a form of mindfulness. You've got to keep it in mind. May all beings understand the causes for true happiness and be willing and able to act on them. That's the attitude you want to maintain. So one of the reasons we meditate is to strengthen our mindfulness, so that once we've got the mind on that course, it doesn't suddenly reverse itself. It sticks with it all the way through.